afternoon for those in Six Fish. I'm so grateful to be here today and have an opportunity to talk to all of you. I'm so grateful for everybody that came down today. Before anything, I need to give a shout out to my mom. For those of you that don't know, my mom is the GOAT. She's the greatest of all time. I definitely would not be where I am without her, so I love you, Mom. My mom really helped me prepare for my mission, and my mission was an absolutely amazing experience. I loved it. It was great, but it started off a little rocky. I don't know what I did. Got off on the wrong foot with my first mission president, I think, but my first area had me whitewashing, one of the worst areas in the mission. I don't know what I did to deserve that, but it was fun because he gave me a really good trainer. He's actually here today, Elder Hutchings. It was a rough area, but we had a good time. We didn't have a whole lot of help from the members. They all lived in a gated community, so we didn't really see them except for on Sundays. And the place we had to work was about like the fourth of the size of Alpine, so we just knocked doors over there, and there were some long days, I can tell you what. But me and my trainer, we were good friends, so we found joy, but since we whitewashed, we had the same amount of time there, and we didn't know who was going to leave when my training was over. We spent 3 months together, and in my heart, I was hoping a little bit that I would leave, because after 3 months, you almost knock out every single door there. They almost knock all the doors. So, I was about ready to leave. In my heart, I was hoping I'd get to a new area with more opportunities and more work that I could do to contribute. But to my utter horror, I stayed. They took away my trainer too. I was all by myself. I stayed there and I had to just keep knocking doors. But in my training, me and my trainer, while knocking doors one day, we met a woman, and her name was Erica. And she was very nice. She said we could come back later, which usually means no, because they usually come home later. But we were astonished to find out that she was there when we came back. And she introduced us to her family. We met her husband, Christian, and her three young children. And this family is amazing. They became my friends immediately, especially their youngest son, Leo, because he was, I think, like one, almost 3 years old, and he was still learning how to talk, and so was I. So we spoke basically the same amount of Spanish. Me and him could communicate, became good friends. I just loved this family. The only problem was they weren't married, Christian and Erica, so they weren't able to get baptized very soon. So we kind of left them, and in my third transfer, we kept visiting them, we kept coming to church, but for those of you that don't know, the marriage process in Mexico is a very long process, and it's very expensive. And Christian and Erica both worked, they didn't have a lot of free time, and it was a big money investment. So it was hard for them to get married. So we kept visiting them, they came to church every now and again, but they weren't getting baptized very soon. So I stayed there, I kept knocking doors for my third transfer. I was going on about 4.5 months there. And then due to some special circumstances, I had to stay another transfer, which means I was there 6 months in that tiny little area, just knocking doors. And suffice it to say, I was not very happy about it. There's only so many times you can knock the same doors and get the same people saying no. So I didn't understand it, and I was sad, and I was mad, and there was a lot of stuff going on, and I was just feeling really sad. But I was able to find this scripture. It's actually a couple of scriptures, but I put them together, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. The Lord said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. My name is Jehovah, and I know the end from the beginning. Therefore, my hand shall be over thee. Be not afraid, only believe." So, with that scripture, hitting like a ton of bricks, what I needed. So I just kept knocking on doors, kept working, kept doing my best. I didn't know I was there. I didn't think I should have been there, but I knew that God knew why I was there. I knew that God had a plan. So I just trusted in Him, and my last couple weeks in the area, right before transfers, Christian America started taking the steps to get married. We started setting up all the appointments that they needed, all the tests that they needed, and they were planning to get married the week of transfer, my very last week in the area. And due to some complications, they had to postpone that. So right after I left, they were getting married. It was the one time I wanted to stay in that area, and they took me out. But I got permission from the mission president to go back to that area for their baptism, which was a week after I had left. And Christian, the dad of the family, asked me if I would do the ordinance, if I would baptize him. Of course, I said yes. And brothers, sisters, I cannot tell you the feeling of standing in that font, my arm to the square, saying the words, "Having been commissioned of Jesus Christ." Those are sacred words to me. And I remember when I pulled Christian out of the water, I just gave him the biggest hug. And he just said, "Thank you." He said, "Thanks for not giving up on me." And it just brought me back. I thought about the conversion story of my grandpa. I know that he took a bit of time in teaching with the missionaries that he didn't get baptized immediately after he met them. And in my mission, we were really excited about the gathering of Israel and about getting it going fast, that when people weren't progressing fast, we usually dropped them from teaching. But I thought about my grandpa and how long he took and how grateful I was for the patience of the missionaries. It wasn't very common for people to spend 5, almost 6 months in teaching, but I was grateful for this moment, that it was worth it, that they did get baptized. And it was a very special moment for me that Christian and Erica were able to make this covenant with God. And yeah, so I have another story, but for this one we have to go way back to when I got my mission call. I felt a little nervous about learning Spanish. I've never learned another language before, and then I didn't really know what it all entailed. I imagined there'd be a lot of studying. I was a little scared, a little nervous, and that fear only heightened when I got to the MTC. My teachers made it seem like my life depended on me learning Spanish. I was really scared. I scarcely read one chapter of the Book of Mormon each day, and then left my gospel study and studied Spanish. Heaven forbid I even touch to preach my gospel. I was just focused on Spanish. And as someone with very little teaching experience in my life, I didn't know the lessons, the discussions, the principles. Didn't know any of that. I was just focused on Spanish. And despite all that, my Spanish was not very good coming out of the MTC. But I got to my first area, and my trainer, Elder Hutchings, he helped me start studying, preach my gospel, so I could learn what to say, what to teach, what the principles were. I started by learning the third lesson, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the easiest, and only has 5 principles. So I was just taking a principle a week. I was just learning what I would say, how to explain it to someone that hasn't heard the gospel before, and then trying to figure out how to say that in Spanish. And I remember my 4th week, so I had been 4 of the principles. We met a man named Maximiliano, and he was in his early 20s. He's just a little bit older than us. He was studying and working. And we met him, and we started teaching him the gospel. This is the one that I knew. So it was good. We were bouncing principles. I could teach it. And then we got to the 5th principle. I remind you, I was on week 4, 1 principle a week. And Hutchings passed me the 5th principle, the one that I didn't know. And it's the 5th principle is persevere to the end. And man, I don't even know how to explain that in English. I was just sitting there thinking of what I could say and how to say it in Spanish, and I just had nothing. And then, of course, Maximiliano felt the need to tell me that he spoke perfect English and that I could say it in English. And I felt even more awkward because I still didn't know what I was going to say. I was searching in my mind, grasping at anything. I'm sure they had to have said something in the seminary or Sunday school, primary. Somebody had to have mentioned it. But I could not think of anything until a little embarrassed to say, but until a quote from Finding Nemo came to my mind. Nemo's dad is in the dark and he's scared, and Dory just said, just keep swimming. Just keep going. So I just said that. What I said to him was, just keep going. Just trust in God. Be faithful to his teachings. It's not your plan. You won't know everything. But that's what faith is. Trusting what you do know amidst all that you do not. And then Hutchings took over and I was glad it wasn't my turn to talk anymore. And I didn't think much of it. And then we taught him a little bit after. We talked about the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith and the Restoration. We talked about temples and eternal families. But then after a little bit, he got really busy and he just stopped answering us. And we just lost contact with him. And that was a bit of a bummer, but it happened a lot out there, so I just never heard from him again. And I moved to a different area, went through my mission, and it wasn't until I was about, I think I had like 21 months, I came back to an area just bordering my first area. It was the area right next to it. And at this point in my mission, I was feeling a little bit discouraged. I was feeling a little sad that like maybe I could have done more. There were a lot of other people that were baptizing more than I was, and I was facing a lot of these doubts, a lot of comparisons, and I was feeling discouraged that the people that I helped, maybe they would have gotten baptized either way, whether I was there or not. And I wasn't feeling like I was making much of a difference, and I was a little sad. And one day while we were walking, we were out there proselyting, I got a message from one of our APs, one of the assistants to the president. And this was unusual. So I got a message and he said, "Hey, are you free tonight?" I said, I was in my head, I was thinking, like, what did I do wrong? Like, why am I in trouble? But I texted him, I said, "No, like, yeah, I'm free, like, what's up?" And he said, "We need help with a lesson." He said, "There's a guy here, it was a Saturday." He said, "This guy's gonna get baptized tomorrow on Sunday. And he's having some doubts. And he had an argument with some members, and he's feeling uneasy about that. So, and he asked to talk to you." And I was thinking, like, who on earth? Like, why is he asking to talk to me? I said, "What's his name?" He said, "Maximiliano." I remembered him immediately from Pradera. He's that guy we were teaching. So I went to that lesson that night, and it was great seeing him again. I was so happy he was preparing for baptism. And I shared with him one of my favorite scriptures. It's in Isaiah 40:49. And it says, in essence, "Even if everyone else forgets thee, behold, I will never forget thee. I have engraven thee upon the palms of my hands. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." I explained to him that his covenant was not with any member, that Jesus Christ really died for him, that this promise was given specifically to him, that Jesus Christ made this promise to never forget him, and that he showed it by engraving him upon the palms of his hands through his sacrifice. I explained to him that by being baptized, making this covenant, it's not with the members, it's with Jesus Christ. You promise that same promise to never forget him, and that whatever anybody else does, it doesn't matter as long as you are faithful to your covenant with Jesus Christ. And he was able to get baptized the next day, and they gave me permission to go to that baptism. He invited me, and it was amazing. It was an amazing experience being at his baptism, seeing him make this covenant with God, with Jesus Christ. And I had the amazing opportunity to confirm him a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that was one of the most amazing privileges of my life, to participate in that sacred ordinance. And afterwards, he just gave me a big hug, and he just said, "Thank you." I said, "Thank you, like, I'm so happy to be here." And he looked at me and he told me a little bit about himself. He said, "Back then, when I first met you guys," he said, "I was really depressed. I was in a really bad place." He said that he was having a lot of suicidal thoughts. And he told me, he's like, "I was about to make a really bad decision when I met you guys." Then he said, "But something you said stuck out to me." And can you guess what it was? Am I finding you my quote? I don't know how it just happened in the spirit. I had to ask him to repeat it to me because I didn't even remember what I said. But he said that really changed his life, and that really started him on a new path. And I just thought that was amazing, that despite all the things that had been said to him by the missionaries, by all the other missionaries, all the people that had studied, it was the one that was just sharing a simple testimony of what he knew without having studied the principle. Just a simple testimony. That's what God knew. And I know it was the Spirit. I know that it was the Spirit of the Lord that touched his heart, that helped him change his life. And I'm just grateful to have been able to participate in that. So I gave him a big hug, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "I want to be with my family forever." I said, "You're on the right path, Max. You're on the right path." And it's about a similar experience. President Gordon B. Kingsley said, "You never know. You never know whether you do any good. You never know how much good you do." I know that this is true. I know that no effort is wasted. That really people's lives are touched, even when we don't see it, even if we don't know. And I know the power of the testimony is great. Brigham Young attributes his conversion to a man named Eliezer Miller, who he described as a man without eloquence or talents for public speaking, who could only just say, "I know by the power of the Holy Ghost that the Book of Mormon is true, and that Joseph Smith is a prophet of the Lord." President Young said he was encircled and filled by the light and glory, and that he knew for himself that Eliezer's testimony was true. Later at the same event, Brigham Young said, "The world, with all its wisdom and power, with all the glory and gilded show of kings and potentates, sinks into perfect insignificance compared with the simple, unadorned testimony of a servant of God." I know that this is true. I know that the power of testimony is great, and that our efforts, no effort is wasted. I know that my efforts as a missionary were very inadequate, that they were not sufficient to get things done. But I also know that God can do a lot for the world. My brother asked me at the beginning of my mission what my favorite miracle of Jesus Christ was. I told him it was the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Because the young man gave all that he had, gave all the loaves and fishes that he had. And although it was so inadequate, the Lord made it sufficient. And there's a song that talks about that miracle of Jesus. And I like a couple lines from it. He says, "I know it's not much, but I know what I owe. So I'll give all of my fishes and loaves." And then at the end of the song, it's Jesus talking and says, "Oh my child, let go. I know you're uneasy, but I'm in control. I don't need that much for me to show. I'll make the most of your fishes and loaves." I know that this is true. I know that God really can do a lot when we give our best, although meager effort. I know that the Lord can effect miracles. Y les comparto mi testimonio de estas cosas. Mis palabras no alcanzan de escribir que tan seguro estoy que esta es la iglesia verdadera. Estoy seguro que José Smith sí fue un profeta y de que esas ordenanzas nos llevan a la vida eterna. Les testifico que Jesucristo vive. Y tanto como Él me tiene grabado en las palmas de sus manos, yo lo tengo a Él grabado en mis convenios, en mi corazón, como testimonio de que yo nunca olvidaré de Él. Les testifico que esta es la iglesia de Jesucristo, que Él vive, que Él dirige esa iglesia hoy en día. Y comparto mi testimonio seguro con todos ustedes. Y lo hago en el nombre de Jesucristo. Amén.
Amén.